Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We are Baltimore Positive. We are positively here at Costas. Trying to have a good time and trying to do the lunchtime thing. Place is mob. We're in Dundalk. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. I have Harlem Globetrotters scratch-offs to give away. Our friends at GBMC sponsor us. Our friends at Farnan and Dermer sponsor us at the Comfort Guys. We have a new sponsor and partner here sitting in at Dennis O'Donovan, who's been helping me with AI, can help you with AI. We're going to do an AI thing here at Costas on the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. And look, man, it's not that I don't want a crab cake, but I'm a little hungry. And Robbie Leonard was over here. I need a towel. He was bagging on AI. He's all the politics and all, and then we're running the world. I just need, like, a bowl of Maryland crab soup and some proper crackers. And I hope you don't mind, Dan, but I'm going to get boozy in this. I'm getting boozy in this segment because it is Friday and it's happy hour somewhere here at Costas. This is an Orange Crush. We're a little Deep Eddie in here. So Deep Eddie Dave would appreciate that. So we're in Dundalk, my homeland.
And I just won $5.
Did you win $5?
Yes, he did. That's awesome.
$5. $5.
That's awesome.
Winner, winner. $5 dinner. All right. That's good. So, listen, man. I got a bowl of soup here, and I told you before I come on, I got some big chunks of Maryland crab in here. The AI thing, he just bagged on it and came over here, and you get pushed back and punched on about it. I do as well for my own family members, for all their legitimate reasons. The water, the energy, taking away jobs, all of that. I'm going to continue, when I have you on, to not defend AI, but to defend that this invention has come along like the motor vehicle. And, oh, my God, we're going to have to build roads? Why? We're going to have to do this and that. Hey, yeah. You know, we're going to knock trees down to do that.
Yeah.
We're going to knock neighborhoods down. Look, there's good and there's bad and there's evil, and evil's running the world right now. I'm pretty sure about that. And evil in the AI hands is really scary shit, right?
Correct.
But that doesn't mean it's going away, and that doesn't mean... I mean, I remember when the internet came, and I never thought that we would have a credit card or spend money. I just thought people wouldn't trust it enough to do that, right? The AI thing, he's gone to the other end where people are trusting it to do too much. You and I are trying to responsibly educate people about
this
and guardrails. My wife works for a serious company where they're trying to install it, and she and I are learning it together. It's two 50-year-old farts. I'm almost 60. And you're 21, I can tell, Den.
Nickels, baby.
Yeah, you've been at this a little bit, too. give everybody your walk on this, because I haven't had you on since Christmas. We were over at Planet Fitness, which is why I'm keeping the soup and the vegetables here together so I can get to my Planet Fitness appointment later on.
But no French fries.
So I'm going to eat a little soup, and I'm going to have you educate me like I'm Robbie Leonard over here, all like anti it. You're not just making the case to making it a better world, but the fact that, like, the competitive advantage that's going on that you've seen in our relationship, and I know you from my wife's illness, from There Goes My Hero. He's a There Goes My Hero board member. He's a good guy, Dennis O'Donovan. And I ran into you in a supermarket about a year ago, and then we ran into each other two or three times, and I said, I got to get into this. Help me out. I got a solution, which we still haven't solved, by the way. And here you are. And now you're giving speeches, and you're out, and people are hiring you to come into their company and help them educate, install, use, and not have everybody be fearful of it, right?
Correct. Yeah, it's a big deal because people are fearful. World Economic Forum last fall said that AI is going to replace 93 million jobs worldwide. It also said in the same breath that it is going to create 170 million. It's almost double. So those are not my statistics. Those are not Dennis' statistics.
How is it going to create jobs? I'm trying to understand that part.
So think of it. We talked about prompting, right? That's one of the things we talked about, how you prompt engineer could be a six-figure job in some instances. There's training. There's consultants like me. There's people are going to have to change the way they work. They are going to effectively change the way they work. So there's all the training that goes along with that. There's unknown industries that are coming up from it. So that's where everybody feels that it's gonna have an impact. It's a locomotive movement.
Well, the unknowns are,
they're guesstimates, but
the unintended consequences that we can't It's like Bryant Gumbel saying, "Here's the internet. 5 years from now, we're gonna look back at this, God willing."
Yeah.
And say we were so wrong about this and right about that. And, you know, you're going to be a millionaire. You're going to say, I'm glad I leaned in on this. And I'm going to be a crypto god, making that up. But whatever it's going to be, this is coming. It is a tsunami. It's an earthquake. I've explained it to people that way. I've used it in that way. I argue for it because I can't argue against it. Because I'm arguing against the evolution of our culture, our technology, our knowledge, our wisdom, and our ingenuity, and our ability to always be seeking something that's better, that's faster, that's quicker, that's more accurate, that gives me more time back.
Correct.
That creates value. And that was the thing that sold me into this, and it was Tony Robbins, who can kiss my crab soup. Funding the Melania movie. Oh, my God. But nonetheless, I got into AI, and not skeptically, not through you skeptically, but cautiously, cautiously, I would say, and saying, what does this mean to me? And I'm 120 days, not even 120 days, I'm 90 days. I'm literally 90 days in to my journey, and I can only make an argument that it's a wonkavator. It's incredible, but I don't know how it might blow the world up. I mean, it might.
Needs guardrails, and that's the biggest challenge. Ethics in AI is a really big deal.
We found that out last week.
How it gets developed. Yeah, how it gets developed.
We bombed Iran last week using Anthropic technologies and then fired them the next day because they wouldn't play ball to give these criminals the keys to the kingdom, which is exactly what, like, the Penguin and the Joker and Batman. You know what I mean? I especially when you consider the surveillance side of this, right? Like that's
concerning.
That should be concerning.
That's major concerning. Yeah. No, I mean, it has to have guardrails. We all need to be walking in lockstep in the same direction. And the challenge is that I feel that is a concern worldwide, because this is a race. This is a race. AI is a race. Who's going to win the AI game? It's a race. I feel it is. And
I just told Robbie the Democrats need to win that race instead of fighting it. Literally, because it ain't going away.
I had a conversation with my mom. My mom's in the education field. And, you know, a lot of these folks are dead set against AI in education. And I get it, but I also feel that it's not going away. And how do we give our kids the best way to equip them in the workforce, but to teach them? It's a language. AI is a language. You're learning it. You've learned it. It's a language. And if you don't teach them that language, how are you equipping them to be successful in the work world? I think there's going to be two people. There's going to be people that know how to work AI and people that don't. And I think the ones that know how to use AI and know how to speak that language are the ones that are going to be the most employable. In the next version.
Dan, I got involved in this in November, and you were involved kind of half-holding my hand through this thing, and I started taking classes, and it's blowing my mind, and I'm using it in a way that it's blowing my mind, and I keep texting you breakthroughs I have on it. A year ago, nobody was talking about it, even at the networking events that we were going to in April and May. I went to Vegas with the Maryland party, which I think I'm going to be going again. Thank you, Howard Perlow and Bill Cole. And people were talking about it. How are you using it? I find it to be, I flirt with everybody now with it. It is my come online to everyone I know. Are you using AI? Especially the people I know who are smart. And I think about the whatever work they do or where they are. My best friends in the world, I've asked, are you into this? Because I'm concerned about you. Because if you're not using it for all the reasons you said, if you understand it, play with it, and then elect not to use it, I guess I'd hear that. But if you're not going to embrace it or not going to explore it and not going to click on it a little bit, you're missing out, I think, but the lost opportunity, to your point, is going to crush you.
Yeah.
Economically, spiritually, time-wise. It would be like, and I have a few people in my life that have a flip phone. Yeah, like, you're laughing, but
no,
right?
I get it.
Like, Robbie's kids are 7 and 9, and they have watches where they communicate with mom and dad.
Yeah.
I mean, and I don't, and they're never going to know a world anything like that. And guess what else they have access to on their phone? Not just a calculator that you and I got in eighth grade, right? They got access to AI.
Again, yeah.
Right? And so I don't use it on my phone much to, like, ask questions or whatever. But, like, even here's something silly that I use it for that I never would have thought before. And this would cost a job, and this would be one reason my old boss wouldn't like this. My old boss, Matt Nahagian, runs the San Francisco sports radio station, The Game. He ran the Philadelphia sports radio station. He's my boss in Chicago, turn of the century. And he trained producers, radio producers. So if this were like a Dan Roderick show, I'd have a Vanessa over here. She'd be handing me cards, you know, telling me, give me some questions. That's what a producer did. Producer of my radio station would, a good producer, Ray Bachman, Andy Mueller, would say to the host, here's a couple things to think about when you have the manager on today, right? Any guest I have on now, I had Kwesi Mfume on 2 weeks ago. I went to my clone and said, give me five things that are relevant right this minute to talk to Kwesi about, and they popped up. That used to be like a job at my radio station. Yeah. And it was a job that was hard when I would have a North Carolina State football coach on, and I'm doing a nationally syndicated show, and all I had in those days were the Sporting News and the USA Today. We didn't have an internet when I did that show. It's like the research part of making me sound smart the night that Dale Earnhardt died, about a Hans device when I didn't even understand anything about NASCAR racing and I'm hosting a radio show. That was sort of, now the ability to say I'm with Dennis O'Donovan of Proficcom, give me three great topics and questions to talk about that would be relevant. I'm sure it would pop up with the Anthropic ChatGPT thing last week. Like politically, that's a live wire, right this minute, as to what our government's going to do and how our government's going to handle this, not a year from now or 5 years from now when Congress gets around to it or when they start to subpoena some people or bring them in. This is a live wire right now, like right this minute. And these decisions, Donald Trump doesn't even understand what AI is. I mean, he's resharing things, doesn't know really intellectually. I don't think anybody who's 80 years old can understand this in 5 minutes, like, right?
Yeah, no, I had a podcast on Monday, and he said, speak to me like I'm talking to my 80-year-old mother. How do I explain AI?
All right, so you walk into businesses now where there's black, white, young, old, male, female. They're all employed. I'm sure some people in the room are in their 60s. Some people in the room are in their 20s when you're in a room. Give me – I haven't talked to you about this even off the air. Give me a little lowdown on what you're doing with AI education when somebody calls you. Because you and I are like friends. We're personal. We're Zoom. I have a small business. You can really help me. I'm tactical. But then you go into a business with 10, 20, 50, 100 employees. Yeah. And people are afraid of it. It's going to take my job. I mean, that's the number one thing, right? Yep. You're always fighting, like, this guy is, you're the Grim Reaper. You're there to cut their company in half.
I have felt that in a meeting before.
Go ahead. Talk to me.
So,
I want to have some soup.
Yeah. Basically, there are folks that have, I think in some cases, some of the AI, things that have not gone well. They've gone well because they tried to boil the ocean too much with AI. I'm looking on the opposite way. I'm looking for low-hanging fruit. I'm looking for small wins because there's two specific reasons. One, I get a buy-in from ownership, leadership, because they want to win on AI because they're scared of it. And they were like, okay, we just want to win. The other thing is for the people that are doing the tasks, I'm not trying to replace them. I'm trying to replace the mundane, redundant crap that they hate and they've been bitching about for 20 years. And if I can automate or AI-ify that process and save them 20% of their time, they still need to be involved in that critical thinking. But I'm taking the thing that they don't like about their job so they can be present in the thing that they're really, really good at. And so that's what we're looking for. We're looking for broken processes, workflows that can be improved. That, to me, is where AI is going to – there's some really cool tools out there. But by and large, I think the thing that's going to change the workforce is if you can increase multiple workflows within an organization by 15, 20, 25%, and you can do it at scale across multiple departments within a company, you're going to have real change. You're going to have meaningful impact. And it can go back to your point. I'm going to give you your time back. What do you do with the time? Is it get new revenue? Can you insert new customers without having to bring new FTEs on? You know, so that's a profitability issue. That's a revenue issue. Could it be, you know, I get to sneak out and go watch my kid play soccer? You know what I mean? Whatever it means to you, that's what
AI
can do.
A six-hour workday.
I'd love it.
Well, I had a breakthrough this week. Have I told you this about my wife? My wife speaks XL.
Okay. Yeah, I don't. Yes, you did tell me that. But please, it's good stuff.
Well, I'm gonna tell a story because it involves a local company called MediaWorks. So shout out to Jody and everybody at MediaWorks. It involves my friends at the Maryland Lottery. So I'll say it's all brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery, Harlan Globetrotter. By the way, that's yours. You get one. Once you buy a prize, it's yours to keep. People have been coming up waving money at me. I got a $20 winner, a $5 winner. So every month, there's anybody at radio, my friends at the Bay that are listening, we run ads, and then we have a spreadsheet that says the ads run. And then I send that spreadsheet to the ad agency so that we can get paid for running the ads. That's how we make a living here.
True.
Voila! 35 years in. I've just pulled the curtain back.
There it is. The secret's out.
That's the secret. The secret sauce. So I don't do spreadsheets well. I am a pretty technical guy, as you've learned. You know, I can learn things. I'm very tech savvy. John Stedman used to call me a computer whiz. In 1986, I was not he was an old man that, you know, I showed him how to create a file, basically, right? But to him, I was, so like all of my life, I've had to adopt new technology. My kid sent me my first text and I didn't want to, so like there are things I'm good at. I'm a typer, even with a missing finger. Mr. Polanos would be excited about that when he threw me out of typing class in 10th grade because he put, you know, so there's all of these things you adopt and you get better at. The hardest thing to adopt is something you only use 10 minutes a month, like Excel.
Sure.
I never learned Excel because I've never worked in spreadsheet land to work rows and cells, right, in Excel sheets.
Pivot tables and all that.
I'm not good at it. Yeah. I'm just not.
Exactly. Me neither.
And I'm not. And this is something about my ADDH, right, that rows and columns freak me out. Like the bars and the graphs. Because of my, you know, it's probably something I'm on the spectrum about, but like it weirds me out to have all the lines. Take the line, like a score, like a baseball scorecard.
Okay.
I need that in the light gray. I can't, I don't want to see green lines all over, you know, it freaks me out. Grids freak me out. So my wife for years, 5 years, 6 years, has been once a month merging spreadsheets.
Okay.
Taking a CSV file and merging it into an Excel file and saving it. And this started with our software at the radio station having to pull these reports accurately, and it does. And then merging it to CSV accurately, and it does. But it still took a human that could merge it better than I could merge it and fix it and fix rows. And when there's an error in something that the rows break, you know, the things that go wrong in spreadsheets, right? When a left hand don't talk to the right hand, or when Apple is talking to Microsoft,
that's,
in this case.
That's a big one, yeah.
That really was the issue, right?
Yeah.
Because my wife would sit there and pound and say, I hate this Apple, because she works in Microsoft. She'd have to do it in Apple because I live in Apple. I'm giving you all my challenges. Like, these are the same things you're hearing every day, right? Yeah. Last week, because of my clone, because of you, and because I've been really good at training my equipment and knows what I do, right? Knows everything about me. That's what makes it a Wonkavator, right? Sunday morning, my wife had a real tragedy happen last Friday that we've talked about this on the internet. There was a dead body in the middle of Harford Road, and my wife attended to it, and it's really freaked her out. She had a really rough weekend, and I was trying to take this off her plate over the weekend. It was first of the month. I'm going to do my work for Jody Berg and for Noel and everybody over at the at MediaWorks, and it takes her 20, 30 minutes, you know, down from 45. You know, over the last year or two, we've gotten more refined, but it still is something she has to get a cup of coffee, sit at my computer every month for 20 minutes.
Cussing you out?
No, not anymore. Not anymore. But yes. But that was so 2023,
there,
right?
You
know what I mean? But it is, this is any process like this, right? Where you don't speak a language, you need to have a task done you have to outsource it in some way. In my case, it was to my spouse, because it's just one thing I do every month. That's the only thing I have to do of that kind, that's of that caliber, that requires precision and state reporting. So nonetheless, Sunday morning, idiot Nestor, 9.5 fingers, went in at 5 in the morning, did everything I always do, download these CS, and then I thought to myself, if I drag this spreadsheet into the clone and I drag these spreadsheets in and I just tell it exactly what it needs to do. And do it in a way that at least it makes read it 5 times, prompt it the right way, I hit the button and I went and peed and this and that, did whatever, came back 15 minutes later and I looked at it and it was like my wife had done it. Yeah. I looked at it and it was flawless. And I wanted to, like, scream or text my wife or yell. She was asleep. It was 6:20 in the morning on Sunday morning. I looked in, and I just wanted to, like, high-five her. And I was, like, the cat was laying there. And I'm like, all right, I'll tell her later. So I brought her in, 8 o'clock in the morning. I said, get coffee. I got the lottery. I sat down, and I showed it to her. She's like,
I'm off the hook.
Oh, you don't need me anymore. So there's my real life. There's my AI win of the week. And I have a win. You know this because I hit you. I get all excited. I get all lubed up. And who am I going to tell is my AI? I'm going to tell Robbie or my kid or somebody that doesn't believe in AI.
Yeah.
Somebody that I need to tell somebody that's in the cult. You know, that's you.
Drinking the Kool-Aid.
So I send you text and say, AI, Dennis O'Donovan is here. He's with Prophet. Tell me what you do and how you can help them.
Yeah. So we are. We have about 500 vendors in our portfolio. We've been doing this for coming up on 27 years.
You've been doing AI 27 years.
No. We've been doing technology, right. But we've been helping people with technology transformations for 27 years.
You just look like an old guy. You're young at heart.
Yeah. AI is the kind of the new frontier in technology. We've been doing AI for about 5 or 6 years, actually. But AI has been a subset of another product. It made something else better. So, like security, contact center, those are the two big ones.
When did you turn on it? Like, when was the moment, the day that, you had an aha?
I saw a platform last January in 2025.
So this is really recent.
I mean, I've been doing AI.
We're all young guys at AI because it's brand new.
Yeah.
Literally, right?
I wrote my book, The RFP Alternative, in 2022. I started writing in 2021. And we were using some AI back then as a filtering tool, as a research tool, things like that. So I even reference it in the book. But I started to see AI as a service and AI being used differently. About last year. And that's when I got my certification last year. I did it through a group called Industry Rockstars, about 125 hours. Really long. Took me 3 months of 2 hours in the morning, 2 hours at night, 4 hours, 5 hours on the weekends, every day.
You went to night school.
Basically. Mm-hmm. Basically. And I captured how in technology before, we would implement a technology, usually with IT, and phones, cloud, whatever. This is different because we're looking at workflows within every single department. And that, I was like, wow, that's really cool because I can be more intimately involved with a customer and literally be in every area of their business. And they might have a different application here than here, depending on what.
It's kind of like Santa Claus. How can I help you?
I found that to be fascinating.
It's like a genie in the bottle. How can I help you?
Yeah.
Rub my belly, master, and tell me, what you need me to do. I cannot express to people how impressive it is to be 57 years old, and to see my wife even 3 days ago say, "Oh my God, that's a hell of a problem you solved."
Yeah.
I bought her time back, back. I got accuracy. I've got a work through a workflow that's just as accurate as the computer pulling it down. It just merged a couple of spreadsheets. It made Toyota talk to Chevrolet. Like, literally. Yeah. I mean, that's how I saw it.
No, that's what we're looking for. We go and talk to people. We do these launch pad sessions, which are, think of a lunch and learn, right? Hour, 2 hours, where we come in, meet with a company, and kind of take their temperature. You may have 15 people, and one person uses AI every day. The other person can't spell AI. And now we're trying to help them with, okay, let's see how we can
give you some basic AI information about the field. So if it's healthcare, if it's anything else, we give them some prompting skills. We give them where they can use it, how they can use it for email filtration, how they can find low win or low effort wins to improve the process within their organization.
Well, here's a neat thing that if you were to come into my house right now and give your speech, and you're on my radio. By the way, Dennis O'Donovan's here from Proficom. If you're listening on the radio, we're Costas doing a Maryland Crab Cake tour. Somebody in the room, if the room's big enough, you said somebody's been using AI and there's somebody in there that's scared to death of it, mm-hmm. or just isn't in a position or thought that they were going to use it. The smart person in the room is going to stand up. You're going to say to, who's here using it? All right, who uses it a lot? Oh, you do. Stand up for me. Tell me what you use it for. And then that person is going to stand up and say, I used to do it like a caveman, and now it does it like Jetsons. Yeah. And you're going to say, great, great, great. Now tell this person over here. And so I think it's the successes, and it's me telling Robbie over here, like, dude, if you used it a year ago, and he beat somebody up in a lawsuit case where the other lawyer was using it with hallucinations.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, hey, I agree with all that. That's why you want to double. Yeah. My teacher told me the first class, lesson one, commandment one, don't just trust it.
Do not.
Don't just trust it.
Do not.
Use it, verify it,
yep.
like you would verify anything.
Yep.
Don't just trust it.
Nope. So I say, when we're looking at a workflow, the first piece,
you and I don't teach a class.
The first piece of a workflow is a trigger, right? That's what pushes things in motion. The last thing is the approval. If it's a five-task workflow, it's task 2, 3, and 4 that we're looking to improve. But never go and allow AI to respond to a customer, to
automate.
I would never let it go on without being
automate
checked.
The process. They call it human in the loop. Everything other than send.
They call it human in the loop, where we can have AI do some of the stuff that we don't want
there
to
needs
do.
To be a final edit. I'm a newspaper guy.
You got
to
have the final.
You got to have a final edit.
Yep.
At the paper, we had two edits. There had to be two editors at least.
Yep.
On every piece.
I would encourage
at
that.
Least.
I'm an AI evangelist.
Read it twice.
And I would
edit it twice.
Tell you,
right?
You have to do that. You have to do that. Well, it can do some cool stuff.
And once you do that, you've eliminated the F up.
Mm-hmm.
Now you can't F up because you haven't executed anything other than asking a question and gathering the advice. And then you get to think about the advice. And then you get to vote on it. You get to say, I like this, I don't like this. And then you get to edit it.
Well, interestingly enough, a lot of what we're doing, it will be considered more automation than AI. Because what we're doing, and in some cases, AI might be the orchestrator of that automation. But what we're seeing is automation's been around for a long time, right? But it was a 6-7-figure gig to do automation, so only the biggest companies could afford it.
It's what's built the trade point Atlantic right? Literally, right?
But only the biggest companies could afford it. So no code and low code, AI has brought the bar down so the small and mid-sized businesses can now afford to put automation in their
workflows.
When
I went to do an app for Baltimore Positive, they were talking to me about $50,000 to $100,000.
Yes.
To do the kind of app I want to do.
You build it right now.
I'll have it done Monday morning if I wanted to.
Build it right now.
I vibe code it while I'm on the air. We'd do it on a show if we wanted to.
Yes.
We do a video of me doing it.
Yes.
That'd be impressive, wouldn't it?
You can do it.
We should do that.
It's and I think what that has opened up the frontier for small to mid-sized businesses to now be able to automate at scale and do things. I mean, small business is the heartbeat of America. I genuinely believe that. That's why I don't get me wrong. I would go talk to a $6 billion company tomorrow if I could. But you give me a 10-person, 15-person, 20-person small business that's looking to say, how can we use this to be better? You know, you got a business owner who's you know, dying because
you could be their chief AI officer, basically, right? I mean,
that's what we do.
At a very limited, it's not a full time gig. You're not coming in 60 hours a week. No. You're coming in, having lunch with them here and again, training, taking questions, taking on cases, and saying, this person wants to learn it. Let's teach this person and get them automating this, and this is going to take pain out of my company. Literally.
Or we're going to say, what are you using now? What technology are you using now? I had an assessment last week. Sat on in their conference room, and I met with 7 different groups, and they showed me all the systems they're using, and I was like, okay, let me make that one talk to that one, and they told me all. I was like,
did you win? No.
There you go.
All right. Well, I'm lucky. I feel lucky. Appreciate you. Thank you very much. Maryland Lottery winners.
Yeah, there we go.
You're saying.
No, but it's interesting that we're just trying to come. And in some cases, people are using other systems to put something in there that this system lacks. And if I can just take it and take stock in all of it and say, can I streamline some of this? Can I give you a single pane of glass to manage all this? And this talks to this, and this talks to this, so we don't have to manually cut and paste. I've got another one I'm doing in their healthcare. They take a lot of manual notes, and then they have to take those notes and rebuild them into whatever.
Take a picture of it, put it in.
You can do
literally take a picture and put it in.
You can do that, and you can put some system, and that'll save them hours of time.
Yeah,
those are the things that we're looking for. We're looking for ways that I can just streamline, give you some of your time back, and you know, sometimes in these cases, these are people that they're billing their hourly. So could they bill more per person? And as a business owner, you're more profitable at that point. That's what we're looking
instantly.
For. Instantly.
Instantly. Dennis O'Donovan's here. He's my friend. He's our chief AI officer.
I like that.
ProfitCom is the company. Tell me how to find you and where to find you other than in Timonium somewhere. And helping There Goes My Hero from time to time as well.
Yeah. So we've got www.ProfitCom with two M's.com. We have an email that is AIHelp@ProfitCom2M's.com. Number is 888-266-5575, and feel free to give us a call. We'd love to help you out and show you where we can get you on your AR journey. I just finished an ebook this morning. That should be hopefully done next week. I'm looking at covers.
Is that a 101, like an educational
piece? Yeah, it is. We know we need to invest in AI. Where do we start? That's the title.
It's just so much. It's gotten so much better in the last 90 days for you and me. I want to give you a little oxygen here. By the way, Dennis came on a show last time. We were at Planet Fitness in Timonium for their opening right before Christmas. I think we had a Costas crab cake, as I remember, from across the street. You had a tragedy in your life very close nearby. I want you to. I didn't have you by for a cup of Super Bowl, and I wanted to. And I know that they're doing some fundraising as well. And this involves Cockeysville community. A lot of people affected by this. It happened Christmas week, so I'll just give you the platform to tell everybody what's going on, because I know you have mentioned it to me several times, and I want to be as helpful as I can be.
I appreciate that. So one of my son's best friend passed away the night before in his sleep, and great
this
kid.
This is a young kid now. This
19 years old.
19 years old.
Great kid, he's a Loyola kid. The Loyola community came out in a way that I've never seen. It was astounding to see these young men and women come together.
Men for others, and
they did. They did. They did it proud. My son's a Calvert Hall guy, but I give Loyola complete props.
My son went to the Hall.
They did.
Perry Hall. He's here.
They did an amazing job, but we're looking to do a golf tournament. I think it was on June 29th, and his nickname was Bernie, and they're calling it Birdies for Bernie. So we will be posting.
I think there's some eagles in there too, maybe a few of those. We're gonna get
that set up, we'll be looking for sponsors and foursomes, and looking at Loyola and their foundation.
I'll drive the crush truck.
If you
let me do that,
there you go.
You know, I'll do that.
But no, I appreciate you letting me say it. When you're 19, 20 years old and you lose one of your best friends like that, it's powerful. It's a powerful thing. And to see the community come out like that was really, really pretty special.
Life-altering.
It really is.
And he owns a business, right? He has a crab cake, right?
He does. It's Captain Trey's in Cockeysville.
All right, Captain Trey. So. I'm here at Costas. Captain Costas and Captain Pete was here. I want to go to Captain Trey's. I want to eat their crab cake up there. We're going to work that out. Next time I do the show up at Planet Fitness.
Get some crabs. They got these little crab balls that are delicious.
Yeah, man, we'll bring them down, and we'll serve them off the tray at Planet Fitness, and we'll do the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. I'm going to work on that. I'm going to call Jay and everybody over there. All right, I'm at Costas. My son has entered the building. Luke Jones is going to be here shortly. Alan McCallum is going to be here. I'm going to try to talk my kid into coming on this show.
There you go.
I'm going to try to talk Robbie into talking to my kids here about the power AI. All you AI haters, move to the end of the bar, get some cream of crab, you know what I mean? So Meanwhile, we'll be over here being
wildly
efficient.
Spectacular.
Wildly efficient. It's a Wonkavator, and Dennis knows how to drive it at least a little bit. You know why I call it a Wonkavator? You Willy Wonka fan? When you got on the Wonkavator at the end, it would go anywhere you wanted to go.
Yeah, okay.
It had endless possibilities, the Wonkavator, remember?
Okay, yeah, I remember that.
But here's the thing. They ask him when he hit the button what was going to happen. And he's like, I don't really know.
I don't
That's
know.
That's the Wonkavator.
Well, so I always say AI is like a jetpack, right? You feed it jet fuel, it's going to go really fast. But if you lack direction, and if you lack focus, and if you lack...
You're going to hit a wall.
You're going to go right smack into a wall. And so that's why it's really important to have...
Did you see the guy in a jetpack fall out of the water the other day? You see the video of that?
I didn't see that.
Oh, my God. It's like, he had one of those jet-powered...
Yeah, I've seen those.
Yeah, and Ish fell together, right into the... Anyway, don't want to do that on AI.
No,
that's why
do.
You need Dennis.
Yeah.
I'm here at Costas. I have... I'm wet. Today we used to call it the Friday football frenzy. We're going to do baseball today, but it's a little bit of a getaway, and we're into March. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. I have Harlem Globetrotter scratch offs to give away. We're going to be at Missoni's in Perry Hall on Tuesday. People think I don't like Republicans. David Marks will be here to dispute that greatly as well. I have Republicans on the show all the time, so it's fine. We can all get along as we follow the law. I'm at Costas. We're back for more. I'm going to follow the laws of baseball. And you know they're going to have a lockout next year, right? Alan, don't want to talk about that. Luke, you just want to talk about Pete Alonso, right?
As soon as we got it, that was what my son got for Christmas, was a Alonso jersey.
White, gray, black, orange. What did he get?
It was a white one.
White one? All right.
Now, my pops got it for him. So.
Classic.
My dad is a diehard fan. He actually went to the funny story. He went to the Orioles Dream Camp, right? This was 10 years ago. God bless him. He's funny. He's like, look what they gave me. Look what they gave me. I'm like, hey, give you. You paid a lot of money for that. But it was really cool. He got to go play in Camden Yards when they were away game. And so we got the they called him now batting Dennis Doomsday O'Donnell because I'm a junior.
And he
still can hit, man. He had a bad wheel. He put it in the gap and put it to the warning track.
Nice.
And but he only made a single because he had a bad hammy. But
I've done a lot of fantasy camp radio. I've never actually done the fantasy camp, but everyone who's ever done it, I mean, from Steve Jeff, I have friends everywhere that have done it. Ray Bachman did it on my behalf with the Ripken people.
Yeah, Ripken's got a great experience.
Pulling muscle. You won? $7. $7. Where's your ticket? You got to come over here and hold the tickets up.
You cashed it in already.
There you go.
Man.
You got to do crab cake, right? There you go.
Oh, come over here. We're going to pretend that you won right here on the camera, and we're going to say people really win. How much you win?
$7?
$7. See, that's a Maryland Lottery. That's a pat. I was just promoting the Maryland Lottery, too, so thank you.
Yes.
Appreciate y'all.
Awesome.
All
Have
right.
a good day.
People really win in Dundalk.
They do.
All right, I'm back for more. We're Baltimore Positive. I've lost control of the damn thing. My kid's here, too.